child of God, and I don't mean that facetiously. I don't mean it in a braggadocious manner that I'm better than anybody else, because anybody that knows me knows that's not my heart. But I am glad that I'm a child of God today. Are you glad you're a child of God today? Paul said in his writings, he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we're above all men most miserable. And I'm so glad that we've got hope today that extends beyond the here and now to the there and then. I thought I was preaching something else this morning until about daylight today. This morning, I believe that God laid something on my heart, and I've tried to wrestle that this morning, making sure that I'm doing the right thing today, and I think my phone's still turned up, and I'm going to make sure it's turned down, just like all good people do when they come into God's house. They turn their cell phones off, because I heard mine beep just then, and I know it's still on. If you have your Bible, turn with me to probably one of the most studied chapters in the Bible, and that's Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. In all reality, I don't know that we can exhaust this chapter, because I think there's still things in this chapter that we don't know yet. I still think there's things in this chapter that can be misunderstood, and I think there's things in this chapter that we won't know until we all get to heaven. But I want to share with you this morning on something that I believe God laid on my heart for this message today. And it goes along with being spiritually prepared, spiritual preparation. And while we're here this morning, God's given every person under the hearing of my voice the opportunity to have your heart right with Him and to get your heart right with Him. And that is what God laid upon my heart early this morning as the waking moments of my day came about. This is what I believe the Lord put into my spirit today. So in the book of Matthew chapter 24, I want you to look in verse number 36. And again, I've got written on my notes today this word, okay? So I want to get settled in here for a little while this morning. I'll probably not to keep you no more than an hour and a half, 2 hours at the most, just kidding with you. But I've got written on my notebook, slowly. And I wrote that there for me. But yet I understand why I did that. Because as a pastor, as a preacher, I can get in such a big hurry that I forget half of what my thinking was as I prepared myself to even come here today. So I just want to just sort of take a deep breath and settle in. And those that's watching online can go get you another cup of coffee and go back to sleep. But for us that's here, I want you to work with me for the next little bit as we work through some stuff. This morning is going to be sort of, I guess in some ways I want to say challenging, but yet the reality of the unknown. Because I believe with everything within me, and this is not in my text, I didn't even write this down, but I know what the scripture says. John 14, and you don't need to turn there, John 14, Jesus told that early church, those disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That was to the believers of that day, and that, I believe, extends to the believers today. Because Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So you and I today, as I've already stated, that we have, as Christians, a hope beyond the here and now. And we are admonished in the scripture. In Corinthians, the Bible teaches us, for we walk by faith and not by sight. So as a child of God, people often say, well, I can't believe in anything that I can't see. I need something tangible that I can see. And the only argument that I have on that is simply this. You cannot see oxygen, but everybody in this room needs it to live. So you cannot deny the existence of oxygen today, or everybody in this room would swiftly and very quickly pass. So we look at the scripture today, and even Paul, once again, and some stuff I'm going to walk through, Paul even said that we now look through a glass darkly. We really don't have a full scope, a full understanding of everything that God has prepared for those that love Him. For eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. So people can deny the existence, they can deny the reality, but the denial of the reality and the denial of existence does not change the fact that Jesus has already told us in the Word what His plan is. So we look here in the Scripture in verse 36, and it reminds us, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but the Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Verse 38 says, "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall be two in the field, and one shall be taken, and one other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left." In other words, life as usual. You're working right beside of somebody. They're ready to go, and you're not. One will be taken, one's not. And then he says in verse number 42, Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. I could go home, and we've already had church. We've already had enough Bible to challenge our hearts this morning. I have, and I'm the one up here reading it. Because he says there in the scripture, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." Stretch your hand this way and pray for me. Father, I love you today, and I thank you, God, for the word. For you said just in these very verses that heaven and earth shall pass away, but your words shall not pass away, that God, that your word will be here forever. Everything that's ever been and everything that will ever be. Father God, you've already said that you're coming again, and Lord, we believe that. We thank you, Father God, for the promises, and we thank you, Father God, that your word is true today. And Father, I pray, God, that you would just touch us and help us, God, as we open up our hearts today and we hear the word of the Lord. And Father, I pray, God, that you would touch us and help us to discern the very things, God, that you're saying to the church today. Father, I love you and I praise you and I thank you, Father God, for your blessings. And I ask you, God, to touch this church today, Father, and help us to be found faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we move any further along in this service today, I want you just very gently look at the person next to you and say, "Are you ready?" That is probably the most serious question that you'll have to answer today. Because the Bible gives us so many warnings that Jesus told his disciples, and Paul even, and I'll get into some of that later, that Paul even mentioned of the Lord's coming. Even the book of Matthew 24, it says this, says in chapter number 24 and 27, it says, "For as a lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So we know that Jesus is coming in the rapture. And then way off after the marriage supper of the Lamb to set up that eternal kingdom here on the earth, Jesus is coming back again with his angels, and he's coming back with 10,000s and 10,000s of the saints. So we know that Jesus has still got plans for the church. Now, when we begin to think about this message today, I begin to think about something that you heard a whole lot about a couple of years ago. And anybody living in the year 2000? Anybody remember Y2K? Some of you young people don't have a clue. But us that were living then, we heard for a couple of years, maybe from 98, 99, into the year 2000, we were told that computers were only designed to work with the numbers 1999. Anybody remember that? I do. That when you hit the year 2000, because computers was not designed to go into that era, that every computer was going to crash. And because of the computers that was crashing, then the food markets would go down, and all these things would be trickling down, and that there would be massive starvation on the earth. Now, you think, well, I don't know if anything like that would ever happen. I remember, Sherry remembers, people that we were associated with at the time. I don't know where they got all this stuff, but they were 5-gallon buckets that was filled with grain and beans and all kinds of stuff. And I had people that were prepping and people that were putting stuff up. And here we are, we passing the church or pastoring a church. And after that, we were going to West Virginia on mission trips back in the day. So after 2000 came in, well, all these people had these 5-gallon buckets full of these dried beans and everything. And they said, "Preacher, you want to take this on your mission trip? We don't know what we're going to do with it." This is a true story. You can ask my wife. We loaded them up and we took them to West Virginia, and we gave out bunches and bunches and stuff. Well, Y2K really did not affect at that time. Here we are 23 years into it. It didn't really affect everything that people said would be affected. I remember as a kid, believe it or not, I was a young man at one time. I remember as a kid going into my granny's. Sherry remembers this a little bit. Papaw and Granny would be on the front porch, and they'd have like two bushel baskets of green beans, and they'd be sitting around on the front porch and they'd be snapping green beans. That's before they had the stringless green beans. You had to really string green beans. And they would be breaking green beans, and Granny and Papaw would be preparing green beans, and they'd sit around on the front porch. Every now and then they try to get us kids hooked in on the green beans. And I said, "I ain't picking no green beans. I didn't care nothing about it." But I promise you, even when we got married, I knew where my granny kept her green beans. I'd slip in her back door and I'd scoot right down them basement steps, and I'd go right back there on that shelf and I'd get me some green beans. My granny made great green beans. The reason I said that is simply this, that we would prepare for things like Y2K. We would prepare for canning, and these ladies and some of the ladies in this church would still can and put things up. And you're putting things up because you believe that you'll be using those things somewhere in the future. And Jesus even teaches us as a church, and he says, for us to lay not up for ourselves treasures on this earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, but he says to lay up your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, nor thieves can break in to steal. So there is a solemn warning in the scripture to us today. It behooves me sometimes, because people would spend so much time and so much energy in today's comfort. But yet you talk to them about eternal things, and it will be like a deaf ear all of a sudden. It's like, as I call it, Charlie Brown. It's the womp, 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 womp. Nobody really wants to hear what you have to say about their eternal state. So in this message today, I don't care how young you are, I don't care how old you are, that Jesus in the scripture warned that he was coming again. And again, you say, well, preacher, tell me when that day will be. Tell me, do pray. Tell me when that will be. I'm going to tell you right here in verse 36. Are you ready? But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. We don't know when that day will be. Anybody that will predict 88 reasons why Jesus will come in 88 and then rewrite a book in 89 and tell you that he missed one? I got a word for you today. Run! No man knows, but we know the signs of his coming. And a lot of things is in this chapter 24 that I could get into, and it talks about the signs of Israel and different things, the signs of his coming. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible says, if you look in this verse, he says that no man knoweth, no, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. That's Bible. That's not greenology. That's the scripture. Wonder why that was in there. Because the scripture teaches you and I that we've got to be ready. The Bible teaches us that we cannot wait until that moment in time and then say, Lord, Lord. I can only imagine. Now, let me just meddle for a minute. I can only imagine in my little old finite mind when Noah went into the ark and when the flood began to descend upon the earth. Noah has preached for 100 years or so, and Noah had told them about the flood that was coming. I can only imagine the sadness that filled the air that day when somebody was ringing Noah's doorbell, but Noah was somewhere feeding a giraffe and he didn't hear the doorbell. Now, that's not Bible, okay? That's just me talking. But you could just say that they were knocking maybe on the side of the ark as they were trying to get in. Here's the danger, friend. Because I believe, and maybe not sitting here today, but the society at large, they think today that we're a bunch of lunatics. They think today that we've lost our ever-loving mind. They'll mock you and they'll squawk at you and they'll do all kinds of things and tell you that you're just an old Southern Bible thumper and you've lost your ever-loving mind. But just as much as Jesus has went away, Jesus Christ is coming again. Ready or not, he's coming again. And my friend, if you've ever heard this preacher say anything, it's time to get your house in order. It's time for me, Pastor Green, to keep my house in order. And I'm just going to be telling you, the devil taunts me just like he taunts you. Now, one time in my life, I thought the preachers never got bothered by the devil. My friend, they ain't a day goes by that old Slewfoot ain't trying to do something to trip the devil, trip the preacher up. Amen? I'll preach that message later. But here's what the Bible says. Now, this is not me. This is what the Bible says. Now, I want you to look at this really quickly because this is in 1 Thessalonians. And then we're going to back around. We're going to move around a little bit this morning. So 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 verse 1 says this. But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Now, this is Paul writing to the church of Thessalonica, who already thought that they had missed the rapture. They had already missed the coming of the Lord. If you go back and study that, that's what they had already thought. So Paul took the time in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians to clarify that. And then he says here in the scripture, but of the times of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Now watch this. He says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come, or so cometh as a thief in the night. He cometh as a thief in the night. How many of you have ever been warned when a thief was going to show up at your house? Nobody. Nobody. So we see this again where Paul was saying that this is the mode or the manner that Jesus is coming again. He's coming as a thief. A thief ain't going to warn you when he's going to show up. He's going to come suddenly. He's going to come swiftly. He's going to come in just a moment that you think not that the Son of Man will come. In this we see where he says this in the scripture. He says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then the Bible says, then sudden destruction. The condition of the earth, condition of the situation. And then in verse number 3, that middle part, and this is one of the things, what the Bible says, that peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Who? Those that are not prepared. Today you're hearing a message on get your house in order. Make sure your heart's right. Make sure you're where you need to be today. And then he says that this destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. And all the women know what I'm talking about today. Men maybe know, but the women really know. You may be walking through Walmart if you're an expectant mother, Mackenzie, and all of a sudden, here you go. What was that little pain? What was that? How did that happen? Unexpected. I believe right now, this is what I've heard other pastors say and other preachers say, and this may be maybe not the best explanation, but this is the way that it's being explained in days gone by to me. That the earth, the Christians are expecting. We're expecting as a woman that would give birth to a child, and those that are looking for his appearing, those that are expecting him to come. There's an expectancy in the air. The Bible talks about in the book of Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, looking for the coming of the Lord. If he don't come today, we will be looking in the morning, amen, with an expectancy that this is the time and this is the day. But my friend, please hear me today. The church has lost her fire. The church has lost her fervor. The church has lost her expectancy. You say, well, I've not lost mine. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to those that's lost their fire and those that don't even really look for Jesus to come anymore. Some people are so holy, I'm surprised they're not already in heaven. But for the rest of us that are still struggling along, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But we've got to keep our hearts, because he says in the scripture, as travail upon the woman again with child, and they shall not escape. By that I mean those that are going into destruction. The Bible gives us an explicit warning, and I don't want to go into that because that's not part of what I'm preaching today. But I do know that the Lord is coming again, and he's coming back for those that's looking and those that's ready and those that's got an expectancy in their heart. Paul began to explain this, and I know that we've read these scriptures so many times at funeral services, but my friend, to give the family comfort and to give the family hope, but these are not funeral scriptures, if you will. These are scriptures for you and scriptures for me, and they're scriptures to let you and I know, hey, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. God's got this thing. He's the one is at the helm of the ship. The old ship of Zion is going to sail, my friend, and he's the one in control today. Amen. When we begin to see this in the scripture, Paul again tells us he's coming as a thief. And then we look in 1 Thessalonians 4. And the Bible begins to teach us. And again, you've heard these scriptures hundreds of times. But the Bible says, brethren, he says in 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, which means uninformed. Or not having the knowledge of. Brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. How's all this going to happen? I'm not God, he is. And I'll talk about that in a moment. But he says in 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. I don't know how this is going to happen. All I know is that I believe that it's going to happen. When you die, you go to the graveyard. Your spirit goes back to God. You're a spirit man. You're a spirit person then. And when this all transpires the way God wants it to transpire, that spirit's going to once again be reunited with this body. And I'll talk about that in a minute. It's going to be a glorious thing. It's going to be a fabulous thing. And again, I'll get into that in a minute. And this is what he says. And he says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. It could be words like, come up hither. The book of Revelation. Come up hither. All I know is when he calls, I want to be in that number. Amen. We see here in the scripture again, when we think about it, we see for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Somebody say he's coming back. He's coming back. I believe that today, as much as Jesus is gone away, Jesus is going to come back again, my friend. The Bible said with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. There's the rapture. Those of you that studied this, you know it's in the Latin word, it's rapio. In the English, we use the word rapture. It means a calling away, a catching away, a snatching away. My friend, I'm telling you, it's going to be a glorious, glorious time. Somebody said, well, I want to get older. I want to do what I need to do as a young person. And you've heard me say it before. I want to sow my wild oats. I want to do what I want to do while I'm young. But my friend, those wild oats will grow. And you may not like what you reap. If you sow bad seed, you're going to get a bad fruit. Come on, somebody. The best thing you can ever do today, young person, listen to me, is get in church, give your heart to God, serve Him with everything that's within Him. Do not delay, do not wait. You say, well, I've got so much to live, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. Who says you cannot do that as a Christian? That is so crazy, because see, the way that God works, the way He changes our hearts, the way he does things inside of the heart of man is because you'll end up hating the things you used to love and loving the things you used to hate. I don't want to get bogged down right there. But oh, as the song says, give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. God, give me a heart like, let me serve Jesus. I don't do what I do for a living and for preaching because of any type of selfish gain. I want to do it for His glory. And sometimes I too have to be reminded why I do what I do. But I believe with everything within me that He's coming back on the silver clouds of glory one day. And my friend, you and I are going to be out of here. You and I are going to go home to be forever with the Lord. And my friend, heaven, I wouldn't miss it for this world. I don't want a thing this world has. I don't even have to go back home today. I've said that over and over. But there is a battle between the flesh and the spirit. It's like one man said, there's like two dogs fighting on the inside of me. It's like there's a black dog and a white dog on the inside. And the man said, well, who's winning? And the young man said, whoever I'm feeding the most. I like that song that Martha and them sing every now and then. I remind them of it every now and then. Because I heard it years ago, and it's the song just falling in love with Jesus. If we would just fall in love with Jesus, we get so sidetracked, don't we? Making a living, paying bills, going to the grocery store, like we're going to live here forever. And we don't do a thing for our spirit man. We think about it maybe Saturday night, and we make a decision as to whether or not we're going to show up in church. But my friend, if there's anything you hear me say today, is be rapture ready. Be ready to go in the rapture. He says here, we're going to rise and meet the Lord in the air. And then he says, if you look at this, he says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Look at this. And then he says, comfort, wherefore comfort one another with these words. There's some warnings again that we look at this and we see what Paul was saying. Several different scriptures we see in the scripture about those that were not ready and those that are not prepared. And the Bible, and again, maybe God's just trying to shake us and get us to wake up. He did that to those in the scripture. If you look in the scripture in 1 Corinthians 15 and 34, this is exactly what he says here in the text. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Again, Paul was writing and Paul was saying, it's time to awake. It's time to wake up. If you look in the book of Ephesians, you can look in Ephesians 5 and 14. What does he say? He says again in Ephesians 5 and 14, he says to awake, to wake up. And I'm going to be honest with you. See, he says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So easy just to fall asleep. I've told men and I've told people I've been with at night and doing things. I said, look, I can't drive at night. I do good until about 10 or 10:30. Mitch is probably listening to me, and we were coming back from Baton Rouge at that time on a mission deal, and I was driving, and I already told him I can't drive late at night. A lot of these men was with me. We was pulling a trailer, and it got really quiet in that van for about 30 minutes, and guess what? Mitch was in the shotgun, and Mitch said, Pastor, you okay? I said, not really. I think I need you to drive a while. Mitch ended up driving all the way, just about all the way back from Baton Rouge on that trip. Because old sleepyhead here can't handle it at nighttime. Sometimes the Bible warns you and I not to go to sleep in well-doing. And how often do we go to sleep in the church? I'm not talking about physically sleeping, but that happens a lot too. Trust me, I'm up here and you're back there. I think I want to get me a foghorn. Somebody buy me a foghorn, please. Buy me a foghorn. That wouldn't be nice, would it, Brother Steve? Be up here preaching. I guarantee you, I'll get a foghorn and a stocking stuffer this year. I know. Adam will do it. I know somebody will do it. But in a moment, the trumpet of the Lord, he's going to sound. Now, let me do this. I know we're running out of steam, but I got to share this with you. I got to share this. I got to share this right here. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I wish I had time to read all of this, but I'm not going to take the time to read all of it. You can actually write this down and go back and read it when you got time. 1 Corinthians 15, 35 through 58. I'm not going to take the time to read every bit of that. You say, well, how is this going to happen, Pastor? The Bible says there's celestial and there's terrestrial in verse 40. I mean, there's bodies in the heavens. We see where the birds fly. We look up and we see where airplanes are. And then there's this terrestrial body that we don't really see that, do we? We see there's a veil there. We don't even understand that sometimes. How is this going to happen, Pastor? God revealed it to Paul. I think when Paul was caught up into the third heavens, and Paul was given all this revelation, and Paul ended up with this thorn in the flesh because God said that he'd done that basically where Paul wouldn't get too exalted in himself. He was given a thorn in the flesh to buffet him. Satan came to buffet. He wanted it to be gone, and God said, no, I'm not going to move it because my grace is... He kept Paul in a reliance to God. He kept him in a position to where he would always rely on the Lord. So I want to read this scripture and I share with you, I believe, how this is going to come together. 1 Corinthians 15, he says in verse 51, Paul saying, behold, I show you a mystery. So it's still a mystery. And a mystery is something that's not as of yet being resolved or discovered or understood. It's still kind of a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. Rapture. All are not going to go by the grave. Some will be alive. We may be in this building. We may be in church. And all of a sudden... that quick or quicker. It'll be happening quicker than that. But the Bible says we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Look at this next verse. In verse 52, Paul says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I don't know how fast that is, but that's pretty quick. Pretty quick. You say, well, I'll wait to get right with God when the time... No, you won't. It's like people that play the lottery. They're some of the best liars, I tell you. Because they say, well, if I ever win the lottery, I'm going to give my first half to the church. No, you won't. You won't even pay your tithes now. I had to put that one in there. It's not about how much you have. It's a matter of what you do with what you got. Is this making any sense? I mean, God's give you this day, right now, this day, to get your heart right and to get where you need to be with Him. Say, well, I'm waiting on my husband. I'm waiting on my wife. I'm waiting on my family. I'm waiting on my boy. I'm waiting on my girl. I'm waiting on my friend. No, you're not. You just don't want to do it. But God sent me by long enough this morning to remind you of what the Scripture says. As the Word says, thou art inexcusable, O man. We've been warned, we've been told, we know this is going to happen. And He says here in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, is what the Bible says. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And then he says in this next verse, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So this corruptible man that we are, we will be changed into this person that God, when I mentioned earlier in the message of how this is going to happen and how that spirit is going to reunite with this corruptible, and we're going to be changed into this that God wants us to be. And that's God's business. God will do that. God's got that figured out. Not Pastor Green. Sometimes it still uses the word behooves me. But yet I believe it's going to happen. Here's the scripture in the latter part of this. And he says, again, let me go back and read this. He says, for this we shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So in Christ, we never die. Jesus again proved this, and Paul writes this, and he says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Because we'll be changed. The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. And then he says in 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Stand with me if you will. Thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God. God be thanked for the victory. Now, I don't do this much. Matter of fact, I don't think I could probably count on my hand how many times I've done this. But yet I felt like God woke me up this morning and put this message on my heart. And again, I don't do this much, but if myself, now I'm in this with you. I'm not over here somewhere and you over here. We're in this together. But if we had to stand before God today and give an account of our lives, could you say 100%? And could you stand before God right now 100% and say, Lord, I'm ready. Here I am. I mean, do you know that you're ready to go if the rapture takes place right now, this very second? Would you be ready? You see, there's people in this room that are saying right now, I don't know. There's others that might be saying, I know I'm not ready. And then there's those that are saying, I'm ready to go. Anytime he's ready, here I am. So there's a variety of people in this room today that's heard the same message. So it's up to us to determine what we're going to do with what we've heard, what we've been told. So I just simply want you to bow your head with me today. And I don't know if this works or not, but I'll try it. Bow your head, close your eyes, and nobody looking around. There's always those eye peepers, those that peek out of the corner of their eye. But for just a serious moment today, I'm not going to embarrass nobody. I'm not going to touch you. But if you're here today and you've not got your heart right with God, just to let me know how to pray, would you just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, I know I got some things I need to get right with God. Anybody at all? See, around this room today, there's people that God sent me here today to challenge you to get your heart right with him. Next thing is this. Somebody in the room, you're cold and you're not just outright sinner, but you're just sort of cold on God. Maybe you're lukewarm. Maybe you're just sort of not hot nor not really cold. Sort of lukewarm. You're not all the way in, but you're not all the way out. And young people, this is you too. You're not going to escape this. If that's you today, would you just slip up your hand and just say, Pastor, that's me. I'm sort of just floating along. I'm not really hot and I'm not really cold. But the rest of you in the room, you're really ready to go and you've got your heart right with God. So there's people in this room, friend, believe it or not, that's standing between heaven and hell. I can't change it for you. You can't change it for me. But the only thing that I can do today is to plead with you to just simply ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. There's at least four people or more in this room right now that we need to plead with, because they're standing between heaven and hell. And we're just asking you today. I'm not going to do anything to you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to do anything. But just ask you to simply make sure before you leave here today that you've put your heart in the right place with God. You say, how do I do that? The Bible says repent. Ask Jesus into your heart. Ask Him into your life. And then make things right with Him. So say this along with us, everybody that can and everybody that will, just to be with your neighbor next to you. Father, I come to you today, a sinner in need of a Savior. I acknowledge with my mouth that I have sinned. I acknowledge in my heart that I need you. So Jesus, today, I believe that you lived a spotless life, that you were born of the Virgin Mary, that you were crucified, and that you died on the cross, and that you were put into a tomb, that on that third day you resurrected. And today, I put my trust in a resurrected Jesus. I ask you today, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart, to come into my life. Forgive me of all of my sins. Wash my sins away so that when you come again, that I'll be ready to meet you. And I ask you this in the name of our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen and amen. Whoever you were, you want to talk to me later, please do that. But more than anything, don't leave this room today without knowing your heart's right with Him. Amen. Father, we love you today. We praise you. And Father God, we do glorify your name. We do magnify you, and we do thank you, Father God, for the Word of God that explains, and the Word of God that is alive today. The Word of God that is truth, the Word of God that will not return void, but the Word of God that will stand forever. That we believe that Jesus Christ is coming back again. And Lord, we want to be ready. We want to stay ready. Because you said in your word, in such an hour as you think not, that the Son of Man cometh. So Father, with every person that's under the sound of my voice today, Father, let us all be rapture ready. Ready to meet you. Ready to go to heaven. And we ask you this in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, amen. God bless you today. Let me have your attention for Jesus.